The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Morono trying to extend his winning streak to 4. All indications are that he has done so.
Alex the Great White Morono!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it! Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Dean Thomas, you're my co-host. Wake the fuck up!
I'm woke up! I'm waiting for you!
I thought you were scrolling through your phone. I'm starting the show.
No!
Okay. I'm sorry to start it like that.
But I did.
Dean, we had such a good time. I shouldn't start by yelling at you.
No, I know.
Oh, first of all, we're going to have a great show. We got Jimmy's off flying around spreading many things, including his comedy. Hopefully he's not spreading love, peace, and fucking his comedy. And you're my co-host. We have Alex Morono on. And we also have the great Steve-O.
Yeah, he's great, man.
Oh, we're going to have a good time. Fun to see you the other day, bro. And thank you for making that 2-hour trip. The 2-hour trip, allegedly, Jim Norton and John Attic wouldn't take to come see their friend next time.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, man. Listen, because we don't have a lot of friends in life. Remember, like we always say, you know what? I have enough friends, I need some enemies. So the friends that I do have, I'm trying to take care of them. I go above and beyond. I will bend over backwards. I will take the shirt off my back to give to my friend. That's why I don't trust Jimmy or John Attic. I don't trust them.
Don't trust them either. Little fucks.
That's what I'm saying.
Both of them. Not only. Listen.
They can't be trusted.
I'll put my sword away. They're nice guys. You know what quote I like, Dean Thomas?
What's that?
It's a quote by Muhammad Ali. And I told you this before. I brought this up when we were together having coffee, even before I had an incident.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
You forgot what I brought up to you?
Oh, yeah, the other one.
Which is the other one?
About the waiter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dean, they're going to think we planned this. It's such a great segue. It's very simple to me in life. It's very simple. And I know people say, oh, you treat people the way you want to be treated. If you're cool to me and you're respectful, you're nice, I'm a sweetheart. I feel I'm a nice, nice guy. But if you're a jerk off, I'm going to treat you accordingly. Now, I don't know. Oh, by the way, that quote from the great Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Is he doesn't trust anybody who's not nice to a waiter.
Right.
And nice to him. Because if he was in that position, they would treat him the same way. And I love that quote. That's one of my favorite quotes.
Absolutely.
It's because it's about character, you know?
For sure.
And I know, you know, maybe not everybody loves me. And I try to be, you know, nice to everybody. Hey, we had a great time the other day, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did.
But what happened the other day at Universal? Nothing. You saw me. I'm in a good mood, man. I was in a good mood the other day. You saw me. Ben called me. And by the way, could you thank our friend Mo?
Yeah. I'll thank Mo. Shout out to King Mo.
Shout out to King Mo for hooking up his friend.
Yeah.
The Kimura Savage.
Yeah, for sure.
We're using code words. No, listen. Anyway, Dean, so let's talk about the incident until Alex comes on, and then we'll talk about it.
Listen, I've been dying to hear about this incident because I love a good Matt Sarah fight story.
But you know what's funny, Dean? It looks like I kept everybody on hanging, but can I tell you, and this happened, I think, when I was with you too, you've seen it. Because I'm with my family, I'm doing a lot of videos. You know how you stop your iPhone stops recording because you have to manage your shit? You have to manage your photos and videos. Yeah. So as I was doing the video you saw on Matt Sarah BJJ, my Instagram, plug, plug. It stopped right when the story was getting good. And then I said, if you want to hear the rest, tune into UFC Unfiltered.
Right.
The reason it stopped right at that point is because it just stopped recording out of naturally. So I'm like, fuck. But meanwhile, it turned out okay because we probably have a lot of people listening.
Yeah. It was a good tease.
It was a good tease, you know? I'm at Universal with the family, right? Now, can I point out, and you know this about me, I have something called ulcerative colitis, okay? Now, if people don't know what that is, there's different forms. I have a mild, why are you smiling at that?
I'm not smiling.
Why are you smiling?
I'm not smiling.
At my condition.
I'm not smiling at your condition. I know that you have like a condition.
I'm very clean, by the way. I might shit a lot, but I jump in the shower in the middle of the night if I have
to. I know.
But anyway, the thing is this. Let me just explain what that is. It's like I have a mild case, even though I got 3 colonoscopies and they don't know what the fuck's going on. It's like some people have it bad where they're like, you know, they have to go and it's nasty and it's like all the time. I have like flare-ups where my stomach, it's like I don't have to go, then I have to go. And then when I am going to the bathroom, I'm trying to do this without too much TMI.
Yeah.
But I want people to know where I'm at with this. So like, if I do have to go, you might think you're done going to the bathroom, obviously number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not done. You get up, you wash your hands, you're like, oh, I might have some more. So you go back down and you sit down. So this is what I'm dealing with, right? And it is what, you motherfucker, can you stop? Can you be a grown? You make fun of me for being immature. Can you be a damn adult for 2 seconds?
What?
What? You motherfucker.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Motherfucker. All right, stop.
I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I'm explaining my situation. So look, okay. I'm at Universal Studios.
Okay.
And my family went to go on a ride. Now look, we're in the Harry Potter section. I'm not going to get graphic.
You was on the Potter.
Oh yeah, I was on the fucking Potter. So we're at the Harry Potter section. They wanted to go on a ride. And I go, look, I ain't going to lie. The Butterbeer is fucking hit me. You understand? You know what the Butterbeer is?
Yeah.
It's like a drink. You go, oh, it's all fun. It's delicious. Yeah. It's a little frosty. It's like a slushy. I love it. Anyway, so I drank maybe one too many Butterbeers. So my kids and my wife are going on the Harry Potter fucking goblet race, whatever it is. I'm in the bathroom. Now, I get in there. Right. So, you know, I'm waiting. And there's a kid waiting, like a younger kid waiting to use a stall. Because you know how it is in those theme parks. You have to wait sometimes for a stall. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So the one guy gets out, the kid's about to get in, and the cleaning guy cuts right in front of the kid and starts cleaning that stall. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I didn't even think too much of it. And I thought maybe it was a mess in there or something. I don't know. That comes into play later. Not I think about it. Yeah. So then the kid goes in one, then eventually another one opens up and I go. Now, Dean, like I said, man, it could be 10 minutes, 15, I don't know, 5 minutes. So I'm in there for maybe a little bit, you know? So I get a knock on the fucking thing. And I'm like, oh, in here, buddy.
That's annoying.
You know, in here, but nice, in here.
Yeah.
Not even a minute, seriously. So I'm like, you walk in, there's the urinals to the right, like 3 stalls and 1 to the back. And I was in the back one. Mm-hmm. So there's feet by the stall, obviously. So I see them not leaving and I'm still on the toilet. Not even a minute later, I go, occupied. Now I'm getting a little like, dude, I see them still there. So now, Dean, so I'm trying to be cool while I'm trying to finish my business. Dude, I'm talking maybe 30 seconds later. I go, like, are you serious? I go, okay. I go, buddy. I go, dude. He goes, I have to clean the stall. And when he does that, he puts his hands over on top of the thing. Like, he's resting his hands where I see 4 fingers of a glove over my stall. So I go, hey, Ben, I go, you got to clean the stall. I go, how about when I'm done taking a shit? And he goes, oh, sir, hey, sir, this kid's here. You can't swear. I go, hey, I can't swear? And how about you get the fuck away from the stall? Now, Dean, am I wrong? Am I wrong? Would anybody else be annoyed at this? Am I normal for getting annoyed, Thomas?
No, that's perfectly normal.
Let's stop the story right now and get Alex Marino in here. And we're going to finish this story, Dean Thomas, because listen,
oh, I'm not my God. Dean.
It gets a little worse before it gets better. So everybody, keep listening, and I'll bring this stuff up after we talk to Alex. Let's get Alex in here. Dean Thomas.
Oh, dude, my God, I'm dying.
Come on, man. Now, you know I have a temper, but, dude, really, would you not be annoyed at that?
I mean, man, he might have been slow.
No. Hey, I'll tell you, I deal with the guy, so I'll talk to you about it. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
The great Alex Marino. First of all, thanks for jumping on. You're fighting Pozzinibbio. And that's this weekend. How short of notice did you take this fight on?
Monday, oddly enough, I got tagged in something on Instagram saying Lawler was out, and somebody thought I'd be a good matchup. And I instantly checked my weight, and then I instantly hit up Coach Safe. And he let him know I was interested to fight. And dude, a day later, I got the matchup.
You know, I was talking about Safe Saeed the other day. I gave him a text, ask him. And it was like, hey, dude, I mentioned you on the show. Because I brought up a scene from Gladiator. Dean, you've seen Gladiator, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
There's a scene I never noticed before. And it's right before the very, remember in the beginning when you see Matt, did you see Gladiator, Alex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Of course you did. You're a fighter. That's like asking a wrestler if you've seen Vision Quest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you had to have seen it.
It's like asking a jiu-jitsu guy if you've seen that Machado movie from the 80s. I'm like, you know what I'm talking about, these guys. But, so there's a part in Gladiator, Alex, where I never noticed it before, where he didn't give a fuck if his wife and kid was. He was just ready to join when they died. And they're about to go out to the first battle before he bonded with his friend, like me and Thomas bonded with the Black Warrior. You remember that, Thomas? Remember they bonded?
Yeah.
Before they bonded, he didn't give a fuck. He's about to go out to the first time to battle. Proximo gave a speech. I'm going to sum it up. If we all meet our end, it's how you meet your end. Is it to this or is it to this? You see, and then it goes to Maximus. And this is the first time I noticed this. You see him like think about that for a second. Then what does he do? He reaches down like he does before the first battle, and he gets the sand in his hand, the fucking dirt. My nipples got hard, guys. I was like, fuck yeah, Proximo. Safe Saeed is like a modern day fucking Proximo. Between rounds, nobody gets me as amped up. Alex, I'm sorry, bro. It's about your instructor. Listen.
Yeah, no.
It's going to pump you up. I was watching the fights last week, and you know they go to the corners and they show both corners? So they showed the opponent who was fighting Safe Saeed's guy, and then they're not tuning into the audio of Safe. They have the other guy's corner. So I'm like, and I go to my father-in-law, Ciro, I go, this is a travesty. They should be having Safe when he talks. Then they clicked over to the other audio, and Safe's like, you better fucking get in this motherfucker. He was I'm like, talking about. Anyway, Alex, I love your coach. You got this. I know Safe's not going to let you go to battle if you've been fucking eating Cheetos and fucking not doing the right thing. Do you stay in fight shape all year long, or were you getting ready for something?
No, man, it's so funny. I can't really explain it. I feel like my body maybe has like a cycle to it for fighting, but I just thought I'd be fighting soon. So after Thanksgiving, I like really cleaned up the diet, which, man, played a huge role in me being able to, you know, offer to fight. But I always train. I always got guys I'm prepping for. You know, I fought Simmelsberger July 30th. And I did take a month off of sparring just to make sure I had no like lasting damage, and then got right back to it and was really hoping to fight in November or December. And there was a lot of welterweight matchups, and I eyeballed all of them. And even when this fight was booked, when Robbie booked to fight Ponzinibbio, I was like, man, that's a great fight. I could see either one of those dudes pulling out. I would love to take that spot. Granted, 5 days notice was a little more surprising. But no, I'm so happy to fight, and I've been training my butt off. One thing I've been doing a lot, like out of camp, is I lift pretty heavy, and so I have like a really good strength coach. Shout out to Coach Witt at TTR. But it's funny, you know, last Friday I did like a bunch of deadlifts, and even going to my lifting session Monday, my forearms were still all sore, and we had done like an explosive squat day. But I told him I'd be going to Fortis, so I was like, don't get me too sore because I'll get my ass kicked. So we did like a pretty good workout Monday morning, and then I did a really hard jujitsu session. And then like during my nap is when I saw that Robbie had pulled out. So, I mean, I've been training my ass off. So I'm in great shape, but it was just a little heavier than normal because of lifting. So I was happy to do this at a catchweight at 180. It's going to be a pretty easy weight to make. So, man, I'm excited to fight.
I like that you're fighting Ponzinibbio after fighting Semi the Jedi. That was a battle. Dude, I know Rogan said it on the thing. I love your guard, man. You're not pulling it or nothing, but I love your use of your underhooks, the way you're coming out and threatening with those arm bars. They're not settling in your guard. They're not settling in. I fucking love it.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, man. I don't want to give up too much info, but you know, when I'm not in camp, you know, I actually don't mind, you know, especially in the gi, like if I'm struggling to take guys down, I'll pull guard and just work that game. But I got a couple submissions that have just been like on fire lately. And so I don't know if Pons is going to look to wrestle. If he does, I got an answer for him. But if we do some grappling on Saturday, I wouldn't be too disappointed. But I think we know my game plan. We know his game plan. I'm thinking it's going
to
be a boxing
match. Is it easier for you to take these fights on short notice other than waiting around and having an opponent in mind?
Yeah, the preparation is nice, but the training takes a bit of a toll. You know, like the hard in camp, you know, getting shark tanked and, you know, just getting pretty light. You know, if I get under like 185 pounds, I'm not as durable. So on this one, I mean, I like the short notice fights. I was talking to my Ricky Tercios. He just fought 3 weeks ago, had a dog fight, won his fight, but he had like 14 weeks notice and he likes a lot of prep time. And I'm like, give me 3 weeks and I'll be ready to go. But it's funny. This is my fourth fight I've taken on less than 2 weeks in the UFC. And of all of those four fights, this is the shortest one. I think 5 days was like the official time. So, but I mean, yeah, either way, so long as I can make weight and I'm in shape, which I can't tell you the last time I was out of shape, maybe after like a surgery or something, but I'm definitely good to go. And, you know, even last week, the week after Thanksgiving, I changed my diet up a bit. So there was a little bit of an energy crash. So like my MMA rounds Tuesday weren't great, but then Thursday I freaking slayed it. So, I mean, I was just so happy to be performing well. And then I had I don't know if you know who Bubba Bush is.
I know.
He fought in the UFC a long time ago, but he's got a gym, BVMMA. So a lot of their guys came down last Saturday just to cross train and have some fun. So we did like 9 6-minute rounds of jiu-jitsu, and then we did like 5 fives of sparring after. So, man, I'm in good shape right now. And more than anything, I'm just ready to fight. And I was even telling all my students maybe 2 weeks ago, I had a hunch I'd be fighting soon. I was thinking like quarter one of next year, but, and everyone's like, what makes you think you're going to fight? And it's hard to explain, but like music hits different. Like I listen to a lot of metal and just sometimes it just hits a little different. And I'm like, I think I'm going to be fighting soon. And sure enough, man, this one worked out well.
Man, you like fucking heavy metal. It's so funny. Dean likes this song Cute from Dram. I go, dude, what the fuck is this? But, you know, you start singing it and shit. But everybody's different. Whatever motivates you, Dean, I don't judge you at all. Now, let me ask you, Alex, because I love the way you fight. And on this show, we do like to get to know the guys a little bit better for our audience. You grew up in Houston, correct?
Correct.
What age did you start training and what discipline?
Yeah, I was 16 and a pretty, man, it's cool. That's why I like fighting in the UFC. I was just a fan. I was pretty overweight in high school, got voted most changed, but I lost like 60 pounds. And I took a smoker fight after about 9 months of training and I won with a head kick knockout. It was awesome. And I was just hooked, but I started training at 16. Like I started boxing. It was a gym called LA Boxing. So like I was doing boxing classes and then they offered kickboxing. So I started doing that. And then maybe 2 or 3 weeks after, I saw some guys rolling around in a gi and I was like, what are they doing? And I started doing jujitsu and I had really long hair, like long curly hair, like Afro style, shaved my head so I didn't get caught in the grips and was just hooked ever since. And I met my first like real instructor, Chad Robichaud. He opened up Gracie Baja the Woodlands, which is the gym I own and run now for the last like 10 years. So I just been in it every single day since I started.
I had a grappling match with Chad Robichaud probably over 20 years ago.
Who won?
You triangle choked him, right? Yeah, that's on his MMA record something. He, you know what, Dean, that's so funny. I totally forgot we had talked about this maybe 15 years ago or whatever. I forget how long ago. But yeah, he was saying he fought you, Dean Thomas, and you subbed him out. And I remember seeing on a record that was the case. Yeah. Good work.
Good work, Dean. He beat me too, Dean Thomas. He even has a tattoo of it. He's a fuck, to be honest. Yeah. Alex, now you said, so you have a jiu-jitsu. Dude, you are winning in life. How long do you have your own school and how old are you?
I'm 32 now. I've been teaching, like I've been the head coach since maybe I was 25. Oh, and we just moved facilities. We have a huge 7,000 square foot facility, like 4,500 square feet of mat space. We're at capacity. We got a waiting list for members. I mean, it is good. I got my kickboxing coach and just been with the same crew for a long time. Consistency has worked. And yeah, man, the only thing I like more than fighting is teaching.
This is why I'm not worried about you, Alex. You're going to be fucking okay no matter what happens. I look into the future. Okay. Listen, seriously, at 25 years old, I opened up my first academy. I lived in the fucking basement of it. Now, if you ever look on my Instagram, it's my retirement. It's what I do, man. And I have one school. So I go there, I teach my arm locks, my jujitsu. Alex, I was going to, when I was at 32 years old, at your age now, I can't talk sometimes, Alex. I apologize.
Okay.
But at 32 years old, I won the title. And now I was going to open up I expanded my facility. It was going to be Serra MMA. The last second, I had Christmas cards made up. I threw that shit out. I went back to making a jiu-jitsu school. It's a different clientele. You don't have everybody who wants to be the next champion doesn't have a fucking dollar. No offense. I'll help those guys out too. But you help every walk of life. And from what you said, how you were as a teenager, you've seen what the martial arts does for you. Specifically, I mean, jiu-jitsu, personally, I feel the transformations is amazing. And you do not have to be an athlete to enjoy the benefits of that. And it can just change your whole life. But it's my retirement. So, dude, you can become a champion. If, God forbid, if something happens and you don't, dude, I could tell you're going to be fucking straight, dude.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. It's funny. You know, we have one of our guys. He's a pro. He's a 10-6 pro. He's fighting December 18th on Fight Pass for Fury. But in January, we have like 6 or 7 of our amateurs. And one thing my striking coach and I joke about is we have these wrestlers fresh out of high school. And they're the best students we could ever hope for. They're physical, they're strong, they learn super fast, and they fight their asses off. So I'm looking forward to maybe in like 6 or 7 years, like really just becoming like a coach. But I do run a Gracie Baja gym. It's called Gracie Baja The Woodlands. We have a huge jiu-jitsu program, but we have a huge kickboxing program and a really strong MMA team as well. So I'm proud of that.
Well, if anybody's in the area, jump on that waiting list. If you don't know, throw Alex Morono in the UFC Fight Pass. Look at some of his jiu-jitsu at the highest level with the best guys on the planet. And I think that waiting list is going to get even longer, buddy.
Yeah. Man, it's mostly kids. We have a teens class, 10 to 15 year old. And we had 55 in class the other day. And it was like almost a little too much. And my wife, it helps me like run the business side, the payroll, taxes, signups, leads, everything. And she's like, we can't keep taking on kids. And I look at her, I'm like, what if I was told no when I came in to train? So you have a bit of a filtration system, but for the most part, I really do my best to let especially teenagers come train if they need some guidance.
Hey man, listen, it could be like the beginning of Karate Kid 3 when the fucking crease is down the block and he's got the bills. This is a problem you want to have.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? This is a good thing, you know? Alex, Thomas. Alex, you'll fight in Santiago, Ponce Nibio, December 10th. UFC 282 main card. All our best, bro. And congrats on winning in life, my homie.
Hey, my man. Cool. Thank you, guys.
All right, my man.
Come back on again soon, bro.
Cool. Yeah, let me know. I'll be here.
You got it, man. Take care, bro. All our best.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds same game multi is now available on more sports than ever before and and for the racing fanatics, Ned's Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Ned's level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply. Are available on the Ned's website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858.
Nice. That was good. Dean Thomas.
Yeah.
Dean, that shit just happened. But from a reaction, you think I go dimmed on it. I could take you out on the weekend. Get a little bite to eat. One thing about me, I am a foodie. I don't know. Listen, Dean Thomas, I think you're cute.
I think you're cute.
Wait. Oh, yes, I do. I think you're cute. Oh, sorry. So listen, Dean Thomas. So now I'm on the ball, and we got to the point where the guy's gloved hand is over the stall, and I told him after the third time of letting him know it's occupied, he's telling me he has to clean the stall, right? So I tell him, hey, how about after I'm done taking a shit, you can clean the stall? So he goes, oh, sir, your language. My language? My language? Hey, dude, how about you get the fuck away from the stall? So now he's there, and I hear him talking Spanish with the other guy, Dean. They're talking Spanish, right? I don't know what they're saying. So how about this? Now listen to this. They're not moving, and I hear, you could use these three stalls. This guy's in here for 25 minutes. Oh, okay. Oh, really? Oh. And then I hear them laughing. Okay. I go, hey, buddy, keep that same energy and keep those jokes when I'm out of here. Keep that same fucking joke. You know? So, Dean, I'm done, right? I'm done. I kicked that thing open like a fucking cowboy saloon doors. You understand? Boom. There's a guy facing me, right? One guy. And then the other guy, a little fat guy who was in the video, was behind the door because it was kind of kicked open on him. So he comes around, I go, first thing I say is, I go, who's the wise ass? Now it's a fucking, listen, we're at Universal. There's some kids up against the urinals with their dads. And can I say something about those dads? If I was one of those dads and I seen these two fucking guys fucking with somebody in the stall, obviously they're fucking with me, dude. Not only the knocking, but then, oh, no, sorry. He's in here for 25 minutes. You have to use another. Oh, okay. Yeah,
that was inappropriate.
Totally inappropriate. Hey, I'm not saying it didn't deserve a smack. I don't want to get arrested. But when I kick that fucking door open, I'm fully prepared for anything because these motherfuckers crossed the line. Okay? So just picture the situation, Thomas. So when I kick the fucking door open, okay, who's the wisest? So then he comes out from behind the thing and he's looking at me, little fat muffin guy. It looks like that show on Saturday night, like Pat. Remember that thing, Pat?
Yeah.
And, you know, but it was like Pat with a tan, okay? So I go, you got something to say? I go, where's the jokes? So you can't curse. I'll go, so you can't curse. There's kids. I go, don't make it about my cursing. I go, you're fucking out of line. You curse, I'm gonna get security. There's kids here? Then why are you beating down the door when I'm taking a shit? Sir, you're cursing? I'm cursing. I'm fucking mad, you know? I'm getting security. Get security. Get them. Everybody, apologize. I have kids too. This guy's out of line. That's it. So we walked out. When we walked out, I started, so there's him and another guy. So the other guy, I go, hey, maybe you're reasonable. He's beating down the door. He goes, are you done? Are you done? Can I talk? He goes, it's about, you know, respect. And you were, I go, respect. I go, the guy's beating down the door. Can I talk? I go, no, I'm done. No, you can't talk. Go fuck yourself. Get security. Fuck you. Dean, fuck him. Fuck them both. Okay? In front of everybody, I smack the fuck out of him because to prove a point.
Yeah.
You're fucking wrong. Now, look. So I'm waiting for security. So I started filming. And I didn't mean to leave everybody hanging, Dean, because as I was filming, I told you earlier, the thing was out of storage. So it cut off exactly when I said it was occupied after the second time. So I'm like, fuck, I want to vent, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy's coming up to me, you can't film. I go, dude, no, I'm filming. I'm filming, fatty, you know? So, so then I'm waiting for security, Dean. And as I'm waiting for security, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go wait by the roller coaster. So I go, you know, follow me? Come on over. Come on over, dude. I'm coming right. I'm going to be right over there waiting for my family. All right. So I go, tell security I'm over there. Send them my way. So then I go, hey, are you looking for a short bald man? he goes, what? Can I hear your side? Now he's looking at me. And Dean, I'm not being that guy, but I think the guy recognized me. I think the guy watched the fights. I can just,
yeah. I have that. You can always tell when they know.
Yes. So yes. I go, look, man, I go, dude, I'm not starting this mess with anybody who's cleaning toilets, dude. I respect people. But now as he's saying this, this fucking giant guy comes over. Matt Serra. Oh, fuck, dude. Like, what's up, man? He goes, I'm a big fan. I go, a big fan. I used that one before. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's a big guy. He's with his wife or whatever. So he, you know, he's giving me a bro hug. He wants a picture. So I get him to take a picture with him putting me in a choke. I'm going to post it later. His name is Lee.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Hit me up on Instagram. So he goes, hi, Lee. I know he said he's Lee. I know. I said, hey, buddy, hey, big guy. He goes, oh, I'm this and that. And from wherever. I go, where you from? And the security guy's right there. I go, hey, I'm sorry. I'm trying to explain this guy that I'm not a jerk. You understand? He goes, do you know who this is? He goes, and I go, look, man, you go, thanks for having my back, buddy. I go, so the security guy's, hey, I go, hey, look, dude, this right and wrong. And I kind of gave him the sum up what's going on. I go, that's downright wrong. I go, I'm not going to be a little bitch like these guys and try to go to their supervisor and get him in trouble, but they were fucking wrong. He goes, it was a communication thing on their part. I'm going to get it dealt with. I'll talk with them. And I go, all right, good, man. Like, I'm not trying to get nobody in trouble, but they were fucking wrong. And they're lucky it didn't go worse. So that's the story of me and that shitty bathroom fucking attendant. No pun intended. I'm a nice fucking guy.
We don't know, man. I love that story. That was a great story.
Fuck. That's it. But Hyda Lee, the big dude who had my back, what a nice guy. I'm going to post that later.
Yeah, post that.
And then he wrote something nice. And he goes, security was giving him trouble. I had to save them from an ass whooping. He was a funny guy. He was like the size of my brother-in-law, Edmund. We got Steve-O coming on now.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the waiting room.
Oh, he's in the waiting room.
Look at the way we're flowing.
Well, put Steve-O on.
Get him right in here, Steve-O.
Both in and out of the octagon, UFC fighters only trust Thorne to fuel their performance. That's because Thorne ensures athletes won't test positive for over 200 banned substances. As UFC's official sports performance nutrition partner over the last 3 years, Thorne uses the cleanest ingredients and their labels are fully transparent. Here's what UFC Senior Vice President of Athlete Health and Performance Jeff Nowitzki has to say.
This is important not only for the elite UFC professional athlete, but also for the general consumer as well, ensuring what they're taking has exactly what it says on the label, is safe and science and research backed.
Now, like Jeff says, Thorne supports athletes of all ages in every stage of their game, from professional athletes to athletic professionals. UFC only trusts Thorne. You should too. Find out why at Thorne, that's Thorne.com. Thorne, Thorne.com. Use the promo code UFC10. That's UFC10. Purchase today and see why you only want Thorne in your corner.
Steve-O!
Yeah, dudes.
I'm so happy to have you on, dude.
My favorite guys right here, Matt Serra, Dean Thomas.
Man, what's up, man?
Let's go. Yeah. Where's Jim Norton?
Ah, dude, out spreading diseases and comedy. Hopefully just okay. I'm fucking around. Steve,
yeah, I love all you guys.
You are such a success story. If I would have did a Where Are They Now, if I would have thought 20 years ago when you first started Jackal. I'm a pervert. I'm sorry. When you first started Jackass, I would have thought, okay, let's think if I had a crystal ball. I think this guy'd probably be in movies. Steve-O would probably be dead. And then you proved everybody wrong. You're fucking thriving, bro. Congratulations.
I really am, man. And thank you so much. It's so crazy that that I'm alive, A, that B, that I'm getting away with this silly career that I started still, and on an upward trajectory. It's crazy.
I was about to say, you are thriving. Like, you're probably more popular now than ever.
I think so, man. I think that's possible. And I owe it all to YouTube, man. I tell you, I it's almost 10 years ago that I dove into that, man. So, like, the older people, they know me from Jackass, and the kids, they know me from YouTube.
No, they know kidding. Dean from Dana White looking for a fight. I'm only kidding, Dean.
It's true. It is true. That is true.
Nah, come on. Let's give Dean the credit he deserves. It's such a treat when Dean gets the hot mic at the fights.
Hey, true. And fucking, who did it before you?
Trevor Whitman.
Correct.
I heard there's a rumor that Trevor Whitman has a voodoo doll of Dean. He's like, you motherfucker. And he's true. I'm only kidding. Listen, no, Trevor's probably busy coaching fucking Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
Take three and give one. I'm only fucking around. But I used to like Trevor Whitman on the mic. But then when Dean went on it, you know what it is with Dean? Dean's fucking funny. And so, like, he'll say something like, what do you think won that round? He's like, we all lost. So it's fucking, he ends some of the comedy that a lot of other ex-fighters can't do.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I really feel strongly that what makes the UFC so special is the commentary. Whether it's Bisping, Felder, Anik, Rogan, like DC, everybody, they find such a perfect balance between being serious about what's happening, being lighthearted and jabbing, you know, poking fun at one another. Like, there's just, they don't take themselves seriously, but they do take the fight seriously. And it's all just loose, but it's just so professional, man. I can't say enough about how much I love it.
Now, how long have you been a UFC guy? I mean, like, I see you at the fights. I mean, you everywhere.
Yeah, you know, not that long, man. I came in on the Ronda Rousey hype train. And, you know, I remember trying to watch fights back in, like, 1996. I worked in a video cassette tape store, like a rental place. And my job was to reshelve the videos when people returned them from having rented them. And there was a little UFC section in the store in 1996. And I remember thinking, oh, I'll check this out, when I went home with one of the UFC VHS tapes. And I just couldn't get through the grappling. I seem to recall back then they didn't have rounds. It was just like a 25 minute long fight. And like one grappling exchange would just take over the whole fight. And I couldn't sit through it. Like, I really just didn't have the attention span. Like, I didn't get it. And so it was a long time before, you know, but like I said, when Ronda Rousey blew up, then I started paying attention. And I don't know, man, I just fell in love with it, dude. I'm just fully addicted.
Oh, dude, listen, it's better to be that than addicted to the fucking shit you were earlier. You and Dean are both like straight edge guys. You don't do anything now. Is that correct? Both of you guys.
Right. Yeah. It's been 14 years for me.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Holy. So, I mean, but that's a testament to your success, though. I mean, if you think about it, like.
Oh, dude, that's the secret to my success. That is the prerequisite for my success. All bets are off, dude. Somebody asked me yesterday, do I ever think I'll be able to smoke pot again? And my answer is always the same, dude. My weed bone is connected to my booze bone, and that's connected to my coke bone, which is connected to my pill bone. Next thing you know, man, I'm Charlie Sheen in 10 minutes.
Yeah, listen, man, I always had a simple rule. I never did anything harder than reefer. Weed, I kind of love it, but I never, my pizzeria bosses back in the day, they gave me a talk. I was 17, they were 36. They got over having a drug problem. And they go, Matt, all you have to do is try it once and you're fucked. And then my aunt, and my, they were saying my aunt, my mom, they were going to hotels, kicking open fucking motels, kicking open doors and to try to find me. And they scared the fuck out of me. And even though I was a wild kid, I never ever, even to this day, and I'm not judging anybody. I never tried any kind of powder, any cocaine, any anything. I like to trip out. No, it is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm high all day long, but which I love weed. But I got arthritis. Oh. But anyway, listen, I want to talk. Listen, we can talk fights.
Hey, you know what? We definitely want to talk fights all day long, but I just felt compelled to give some love to Aljo. I mean, oh, dude.
Fuck. You can do that all day long. Give it.
Yeah, because look, I mean, I think I can speak for just about the whole MMA community, that illegal knee was a tragedy. But what immediately followed that, it rubbed people the wrong way, how he started off saying, I don't want the belt. And then all of a sudden it turns out he does want it. He's, you know, it's just like, there were mixed signals. He rubbed people the wrong way, but I just want to heap appreciation, respect on the way that he has backed up everything that he said, man. Like he genuinely won that. He's won everything, man. And the way that he's handling himself now, I do worry about how drunk he was when he approached Henry Cejudo at that, you know. Man, I'm not used to seeing champions quite that drunk. So
was he drunk in that thing? Was he drunk?
Oh my God, he was hammered.
I didn't. I saw something with that, but I didn't see the whole video. But
he was hammered. But I just want to say, he is just killing it. I'm so impressed by his fighting. I genuinely believe him when he says, "Bring on Henry Cejudo. He'll never turn down a fight. He'll fight anybody." I'm just really enjoying Aljo right now.
Listen, Aljo was a kid, you know, growing up, 19 brothers and sisters. I think 20 now. I think the father's still going. I think it's great. Yeah. What's going on with that guy? But you know, he's a good. He made a lot of right choices. So and it's like to be a kid like that, and then you get the title in that fashion, and people, oh, let's take a picture. It's like, you know, I mean, nobody's in that position. He doesn't want to let people down. And then there's people there that flew all over right to celebrate. So listen, he didn't do the illegal knee, but yet everybody treated like him like he did something bad. So for him to go back and get redemption and to say, no, if I did this, that, and the other thing, it'd go differently. And then to back it up, exactly, phenomenal. And I'd like to talk about this next. And then to fight TJ Dillashaw and do what he did to him, only to have a built-in excuse by that fucking cheater to be like, oh, my name was hurt. I know you're about to eat the guy's heart. It's easy money. It's easy work. It was easy work. Missed the fucking needle in the ass. But fucking Aljo.
Sorry to cut you off, but just on the topic of TJ, I mean, like, what do you do with that? When, you know, like, what about all the people who bet their hard-earned money? Like, what about the UFC that has their brand, the quality of their product that they maintain? You know, that it's such a stellar organization, and that's very disrespectful to the UFC to go into a fight knowing that you're injured. You know, it's like that one bag was so important that you put the stellar reputation of the UFC, you just tarnished it by doing that.
You ain't wrong.
And now.
Now he retired. Now he retired. Good.
He retired yesterday. Now there's been some speculation about this. Of what is he really retiring, or is he doing it to get out of the USADA pool to pull a McGregor? Now we don't know if McGregor's doing juice anyway. We don't know. He just looks like he is. But sometimes people do that. Dean Thomas is fucking Switzerland. Man, they're saying nothing.
No,
like, you want to interview with the motherfucker in the future? Speak your mind, Thomas.
No, I've been saying it all week. We know we've been new, and you see, like, you got to be careful because McGregor went at Joe Rogan for saying shit.
Hold on. But why do you got to be careful?
Well, I'm just saying,
that's true. What is he gonna fucking do?
Yeah, that is true. Right.
Let me tell you guys something that I think is pretty funny.
Yes.
I was over at Mike Tyson's podcast And I think this episode never even came out for some reason, but Mike Tyson had Henry Cejudo co-hosting. So it was me, Triple C, and Iron Mike. Henry had just retired on the back of the Dominic Cruz fight. And I said to him, right to his face too, I said to Henry, you know, that retirement thing, you almost got it right, but man, you really blew it. And I'll tell you how. I said, before that fight, going into it, you said it was a tune-up fight. But then as soon as the fight was over, you retired. So the obvious question is, what were you tuning up for?
That is true.
He was like, go. So I was like, it was obviously a negotiation tactic to try to, you know, and dude, he handled it well. I got all kinds of respect for him, and particularly after that exchange. I love meeting the fighters and just talking shit. I met Gaethje one time, and it meant so much to me to tell him how much I enjoyed him knocking out James Vick after. I mean, you never want to see somebody get knocked out. You never want to wish bad on people. But I'll tell you, man, the way that James Vick talked about Gaethje in the lead up to their fight, it rubbed me the wrong way. And the way that Gaethje just knocked him out and then handled it in the octagon after the fight, his post-fight interview, it wasn't like, I still have beef. It wasn't like, it was just respectful. It was authentic. He said, you know, I took what he said personally, and I feel good about the outcome. Something like that. It was great.
that's the way, man. You know, some guys, they want the attention. I remember Alexander Hernandez about to fight Cowboy. And yeah, he had some prepared lines. You know when the shit's prepared. And it's never, and it's like, it might come out smooth, but it's not like Chael Sonnen smooth. Chael Sonnen had his shit prepared, but it was as if it was like a pro wrestling having his lines. He was really good. So you have these other guys being just disrespectful and not, you don't like them. I know you either want to like somebody or hate them, but it's more like cringy. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, it's fake. It's not authentic. And Steve-O talked about it. It's not genuine. So, and you can see that when it's not genuine.
You know when it's not genuine.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, you make a really good point. It was very similar to the James Vick, the way that Alex Hernandez was talking about Cowboy. Yes. And when Cowboy got that arm bar, just the look on his face, you know, you could tell he was just exacting his revenge. When Cowboy had his kid, man, boy, did that make him a great fighter.
And Cowboy leading at the press conference, Alex is shooting up those lines, and Cowboy's like, yo, man, they fucked up and put our rooms next to each other. You should watch your fucking mouth, because I'll be fucking knocking on your fucking... Like, that, at the end of the day, I know it's entertainment, but I don't know, man. Like, Cowboy, he's an old school guy, and us old school guys, it's, you know, we were in it for when there was no money. So don't poke the fucking bear. Anyway, listen, hey, Steve-O, I want to talk. I want to fucking promote your new book. And what is exactly your bucket list tour?
Man, I want to apologize for how many times I've interrupted you, Matt Sarah.
No, James, you're fucking shut up. I don't shut the fuck up. I'm sorry.
Me too.
Trust me, Steve-O. I want to hear you, Steve-O. I'm tired of hearing Matt. So talk.
All right. Well, dude, thank you both. I just respect the hell out of you guys both so much. It's an honor to be here. You might, for the people who are watching, not just listening, you might see this beautiful theater behind me. I'm performing here tonight with my bucket list tour. And what the bucket list tour is a multimedia comedy show. I went ahead and did these things that I had these ideas for the longest time. I never thought I was going to do them. And I said, you know what? I'm not getting any younger, man. My time for doing this stupid shit is running low. So let me get my last licks in. Let me raise the bar for crazy. And the shit I filmed for this show would never be allowed on Jackass, dude. I got medical professionals in disguise putting stolen general anesthesia drugs in my fucking veins while I'm hauling ass on a bicycle and shit. Like,
at the show, do they show this?
No. They show. There's a big screen in the theater. So it's like I tell these stories about, you know, the most fucked up shit that I ever did. And then after each bit, I screen the footage. So it's like Too Hot for Jackass meets crazy live comedy in a big theater. And I cruise around on a tour bus with my buddies and just make rad videos all the time.
Has anyone, this is pretty original, I'd say. No? I mean, has anybody done anything similar to this?
I don't think that anybody's done anything quite like this.
Steve, let me ask you, because a lot of people, you got into comedy, stand-up comedy, which I respect a lot. You know what I mean? I respect it so much where I'm a silly guy, I wouldn't even fuck with it. You know what I mean? Because I'm silly.
I think you could give it a shot and have a good time with it, man. I think you're a naturally funny guy.
He really
guy.
Would.
Only if they're about to shut my lights off, maybe I'll fucking do something. But listen, I got kids, you know. But my point is, a lot of times when somebody does that, like, after their first career, or they do that, like,
the crossover,
they didn't start as a stand-up comic. Sometimes they're shunned by the stand-up. Not that the stand-up comics, I'm not saying they could be a little snooty, but they could be,
they can be.
Calm down, silly man. Stuck up, silly man. No, but seriously, these stand-up comics, I respect them, but they kind of shit on guys who are maybe trying to get into the business late. I don't know.
Right.
Like, how long you been doing it? So how did you get respect from coming in?
It's been 12 years of just consistent grinding, man. You know, like I was on the comedy club circuit for 11 years. And then I just graduated to big theaters like the one I'm in now. You know, I just didn't pay attention, man. I was like just focused on what I wanted to do. I got my own approach to it. If anybody wanted to talk shit about me doing comedy, I would just kind of think, well, hey, you know, a lot of stand-up comedy, people kind of make up stories and they exaggerate everything. Like I come out and all of my comedy is like, it's funny, it's jokes, but like, it's also completely true. And that's why the videos are so fun for me, because I tell you the most implausible, just hard to believe shit. And then as soon as I get done telling you, I play the video and it turns out that exactly what the fuck I said was true, you know? And so that's kind of a different approach. And I was talking to Rogan about this just a couple of weeks ago. I was in Austin with him, and I was talking about the certain comics that will shit on people coming into the game. And I described that I really think what that is people operating with a mentality of scarcity, where really they believe if Steve-O comes over into stand-up comedy and has success, then there's going to be less food on the table for them. So they're threatened by that. They don't like it. And then there's Joe Rogan, who operates with a mentality of abundance. He just believes there's enough to go around. He's not threatened by shit. He says, fuck, man, I want my mailman to do stand-up. I think he's fucking funny. I want there to be more funny shit in the world. People enjoy you, man. Have fun. Get at it.
You know what I noticed about Rogan, and I know Joe, again, 20 plus years, like Dean Thomas does. The more, and same thing goes for Dana, like the more power somebody has, they become more of who they are. Joe's always been a good guy. And I see other people with a lot less power, who have some power or some authority, become fucking pricks. So it's like, it's funny. Like the more attention you have, the more exposure, you become more of you. I heard it's the same thing when you're dying. But like, you know what I mean? Somebody's dying, they're on their way out, they become even more nice, or they become bitter. But I don't know. What do you think about that?
Dude, I think Khabib said this so well. Khabib was in an interview, and you know, Conor McGregor came up and somebody suggested that you know, what do you expect? Conor McGregor's, you know, got hundreds of millions of dollars right now, and that just makes you a certain way. And Khabib said, no, when you have money, that just makes you more who you are. You know,
It's a more intelligent of what I'm saying, but I'm saying the same shit.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think you said it great. I think it does just bring out more of who you are. And it's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
No, Steve, I do have a question. So you grew up in Florida, right?
I did live in Florida, but I grew up in 5 different countries.
Oh, no kidding.
I was born in England, spoke my first words in Brazil, went to nursery school in Venezuela, kindergarten in Connecticut. Then I moved to Miami for first grade through fourth grade. Then I moved to England. Then I moved to Canada. And then I moved back to England, and I was still in eighth grade.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
Yeah, then I went to the University of Miami outside. I came out of high school and I went to the University of Miami.
So my question is, all right, so you grew up where, I mean, you obviously grew up everywhere, but when did you make the realization that you could do these crazy stunts and get away with it? Like, because, I mean, you just don't wake up one day and just like have somebody inject, you know, anesthesia in your arm and you ride a bike down a hill like that. I mean, when did you realize that you can do that?
I mean, it was kind of gradual. I started out with skateboarding was what, you know, I was 11 years old when I started skateboarding. And that led me to the video camera, trying to videotape my skateboard tricks. And I wasn't that great, but I really fell in love with the video camera because I could edit out the failures and just kind of make it, you know, just show the good parts. And I decided at that point, you know, like, oh man, I really love making videos. And I decided that I wanted to become a creative advertising guy, like thinking about, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to have a career. Like, I'm going to be like, do what my parents want me to do. I thought creative advertising guy, I'm going to make commercials because I love the video camera. And that was why I went to the University of Miami. But man, I fucked up. I couldn't get to class. I was drunk all the time. I failed out. I got kicked out of the dorms. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with my video camera, but I'm not that great at skateboarding. I was like, I'm going to be a crazy famous stuntman. And that was 1993. I'm leaving the University of Miami and people are like, man, you really blew it now. What's your plan now? And I told everybody I was going to become a crazy famous stuntman by videotaping stunts with a home video camera. And there was no precedent for that in 1993, man. There was, people just heard me say that and they felt fucking sorry for me, dude. Like, what?
I could imagine.
Yeah, what a loser this guy is. and I was legitimately fucking homeless for 3 years from 1993 to 1996. And then in 96, I found out about Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Clown College. And I went to fucking clown college and became a circus clown.
Did you really?
And yeah, dude, that my first day shooting the Jackass series, they came and filmed me in the circus. It was my last circus performance. And Knoxville was there and shit. I washed off my clown makeup. Like that last show with the Jackass crew there, you know, I'm climbing up a fucking step ladder in the circus ring with my clown makeup on, fucking dousing myself with flammable rubbing alcohol and light myself on fire and do a simultaneous fire breathing backflip off the top of a step ladder and fucking put out the flames. And I'm like, just this creepy clown. And then after the show, I wash off my clown makeup. And within a half an hour, I was swallowing a goldfish and barfing it into the bowl.
No, wait, no.
Damn.
What is clown college? Like when you graduate, did it give you a big pair of shoes and a nose? What happened? And
absolutely. I absolutely went home with a big pair of shoes. And not only that, they custom made what's called an agent suit. Like if you're going to be in the circus. Like to your personality. I was like this punk rock clown with like, you know, combat boot, these big red clown shoes that were combat boots. Cause I was like punk rock clown. But yeah, the clown college, it lasted for 8 weeks. It was more like boot camp than college. It's like boot camp for circus clowns.
Now, did you want to make that your career? Were you like, oh, I'm gonna be a circus?
I didn't. I was still on that trip that I wanted to be a stunt guy. like a crazy famous stunt guy. Like, and I felt that people might take me more seriously if I was a trained circus professional. So I was there to further my goal of becoming this like legit stunt guy. And I was the only asshole in clown college seeking legitimacy.
But I mean, when you homeless, you got to do what you got to do. Like, you homeless, you're like, yo, I need a right. job. I'll be a clown. Fuck it.
Right. I mean, up until clown college, my shit was selling bags of weed that didn't weigh what they were supposed to.
That's a staple.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is sponsored by VeChain, official blockchain partner of UFC. Digital technologies are the future, and VeChain is building its foundations with advanced blockchain technology. VeChain helps people, companies, societies unite their efforts and contribute to tackling sustainability challenges together. Sustainability is complex. VeChain is building digital ecosystems that enable the creation of measurable goals, trackable data, and real progress without the greenwashing. Reducing human impact on Earth is critical. Efficient circular economies that make best use of resources are the only path forward. By connecting blockchain technology with real-world action, VeChain makes it possible to capture the value generated by data, allowing people and businesses to be rewarded for positive environmental actions, creating a powerful incentive mechanism for change. To learn more about VeChain, visit www.vechain.org. That's VeChain, VeChain.org. Follow them on Twitter at VeChain Official.
So are we making some picks for 282 over here?
I was about to bring that up. Let's talk about a featured fight with Alex Morono and Santiago Ponzinibbio. And then we have the co-main event, which is Patty Pimblett versus Jared Gordon. And then we got the main event, which is Jan Blachowicz versus Magomed. Magomed!
Is Ankalaev from Dagestan?
Yeah. He's a Dagestani wrestler.
It's really tough to root against a Dagestani.
It is, man, especially right now. They're pretty hot right now.
We got to ease into this. Let's go into Alex Morono versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. Now, keep in mind, Alex took this on 5 days' notice, but we just got done talking to Alex. He said he's in shape and he's ready, and it's at a catch rate of 180. What do you guys think of that? Now, you got to remember, even though it's close, he had a split decision loss. I thought it was just. He's coming off two losses. He lost three out of his last four, Ponzinibbio. And Alex, he won his last four, so he's got some momentum behind him. What do you guys think about this?
I'm initially curious. If I recall correctly, Alex Morono fights out of Dallas, right? So is that Fortis MMA?
Yeah.
I like Morono. I like Morono. And who's he fighting? So Morono's stepping in for Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
Do we have odds on this one?
Okay, so we just got the odds. Alex Morono was a plus 155. Ponzinibbio is minus 180. I kind of like Morono in this fight, to be honest with you, only because, you know, Ponzinibbio was preparing for Robbie, a southpaw, who is a little slower and older, and Morono's coming in as a dog here. So, like, I kind of like Morono's chances coming in here as an underdog and just kind of taking it to Ponzinibbio.
I mean, dude, how many dogs did we see win last weekend?
The dogs, hey, listen, dogs, sometimes they come on.
Yeah.
Man, that just, when you, it just makes me go, hur, hur, hur. Listen, I'm going with Alex Morono by decision. I think the mixture of the grappling is going to make a difference. Even if he ends up on bottom, I feel he could maneuver enough to either get a submission or a reversal. He did some beautiful half-guard reversals in his fight with Semi the Jedi. And he's a well-rounded guy with his head straight. Great coach for 32 years. Well, he's not super young, but he's got a better list of opponents. I mean, the guys he's beat, I mean, I was just looking at his record earlier. And, you know, dude, he's got wins over Max Griffin, Zach Otto,
Cowboy.
I'm looking at Donald Cerrone, Mickey Gall, Semi the Jedi.
Shit out of Cowboy.
Yeah, I did.
He did. He fucking did. And I was, he's a well-rounded guy. And I think his well-roundedness is going to get him the decision win.
Yeah, I think so too.
But, you know, what the fuck do I know? I'm just a Hall of Famer and shit. But listen, ow! I'm going to fuck around. Listen, we have fun on UFC.
I love it.
Now, Patty the Batty's got, he's got that thing. He's got that fucking star power, man. There's some fighters that just have it. They have it.
Yeah, but you gotta put that in capital letters for Patty Pimblett. I'll tell you, man, I was at the San Diego fight night when Chito Vera fought Dominic Cruz pretty recently.
Yeah.
And dude, Patty Pimblett walks into the arena like during the fight. And he is not on the Jumbotron. There's no indication that Patty Pimblett has entered the arena. But by the virtue of the fact that Patty Pimblett entered the arena, the whole fucking arena starts going, oh, Patty the Batty. Completely
distracted. Oh, my God.
My heart broke for the guys that were actually in the octagon. the whole fucking arena cared more about the fact that Patty the Batty's standing in the corner of the fucking arena, like just in the little entrance, than what's going on in the octagon. That's the star power this kid has. And at that time, he'd fought fucking three times. He had three fights.
Yeah, he's a star.
You know who doesn't have that star power? Jared Gordon, yeah. But I like Jared Gordon. No. Don't get me wrong. And I don't mean that in a dicky way. If you talk to him, he's very monotone. He's very just, he's nice, but he's not exactly fucking, you know what I mean? He's very just like even keel. And that's just his personality. When we found him on Looking for a Fight, he was over at Cage Fury beating somebody up. I remember when we got him on, and he was just, and it was almost like during the show, it's like he was almost underwhelmed. He's like, all right, you know, thanks. I'm in the UFC. But it's just his personality, you know what I mean? He's not doing the dance like fucking Marab did with the fucking, you know? He's fucking, so there are contrasts in personalities, I'd say. Patty is that guy who's like over the top, and he's just be very genuine, but he's got that star power. Jared doesn't, but what Jared does have is experience, man. And what I'm looking at, and I remember the guys that Jared was fighting lately.
Some of Jared's opponents?
Yeah.
Like he fought, like Leo Santos?
Yes! Leonardo Santos. Excellent jiu-jitsu. Leonardo Santos, excellent jiu-jitsu.
Oh, did you beat him?
What?
Did you beat him?
Oh, Leonardo Santos in Abu Dhabi that I strangled? Yes. Yeah, you 20 beat years him. Ago.
I remember that. My fault. I had to check back, man. It was a long time ago. But
it was a long time ago. Yeah. No, don't bring that up. You're off the ball. I don't. Anyway, but listen, excellent jiu-jitsu. He shut him down. He shut his jiu-jitsu down, and he beat him. Unanimous decision. Joe Selecki, excellent jiu-jitsu.
He's got good
jiu-jitsu. But he knows how to shut the – Joe Selecki put it on him that first round.
Yeah.
He survived it. So Patty the Batty, I believe he has his striking, and he has your hurt, he's dangerous. But he does accept to go to his back too much, going for that triangle. I'm gonna say something unpopular here. I think. I feel that Jared Gordon, with his experience, is gonna get a decision win in this fight. Now, listen, Patty Batty's been on the show before. I like this kid a lot, and I wish nothing the best for him.
I can't like
go with your heart. But I know Jared as well. So I'm just trying to be, say I don't know either guy, and I'm just looking at this without my heartstrings in there. Either guy, I like them both. I think Jared with the experience is going to get this decision win. Talk to me, fellas.
No, I'm on that page sometimes, but I think that it's going to come down to, can he deal with that whole Patty the Batty thing going on, like that energy that Patty brings. And it's going to be worse for him because people don't dislike Jared. They're indifferent to him. So they're not going to give him any, they're not going to hate him and they're not going to love him. So like, that's kind of like you're going out there, you're fighting the star, and then you go out there and you're not hated or loved. So I think that there's going to be moments in this fight where Jared should be able to shut him down. But if Paddy gets going and starts overwhelming him and that crowd gets behind him, I think that's going to freak Jared out. So Jared cannot allow that to happen.
Steve-O.
I mean, the lights are going to be brighter. You know, there's something to that. I mean, we've seen Cowboy do really, really well, but then in that really bright light moment, it's too much pressure for him.
And that's the hard part for Jared. Jared's got the experience in fighting, but not with the lights. Can he deal with those lights that Paddy brings?
You guys are bringing up the lights. Right. You're bringing up the lights. I know what Jared's
going to say. Well, the pressure.
You know what Jared's going to say? All of the lights. Dude, turn up the lights in here, Paddy. All the way, I want to see this. I don't know the words. But listen, the thing is this. He's been through fucking hell, Jared Gordon. He's very open about his past, dealing with addiction. He was a fucking addict, and he admits it. And he's a spokesperson on people getting better. He's fighting for something bigger than him. Bigger than him. To beat addiction. Not to be the next fucking superstar. To beat addiction. He went through hell. Everybody thought he was done. And look at him now, fighting on the world stage.
That is true.
All right.
Are you going to hold him back now?
I still believe what I believe. You're saying. Listen, I said it earlier. This is the Mental Health World Championship right here, because both of these guys are advocates for the mental health. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as far as Jared Gordon, I would just like for him to just have in his mind, and I want him to, I would just like him just to recite, turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright. I want you all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright. I want you all to see this. That's what I want. You should come out to that motherfucker.
I'm smelling a little bit of bias over here, Matt.
The guy's from the East Coast. You think I'm just because he's from the East Coast, I'm going with Jared Gordon?
Maybe.
Don't you know what I know what it's like to be an underdog, Dean Thomas.
I do know. But I'm just saying, but he don't have the same mentality as you.
Oh, you're shitting on him. Oh, well, let's get to the main event. Let's get to the main event.
That was too quick.
I'm saying Dean's indifferent. He's not love or hate.
I love Patty the Batty. I'm Patty the Baddie. I sing the song and everything. But I, you know, listen, man. Oh, Jan Blachowicz versus Mama. Talk to me.
All right. I mean, you did. Jan Blachowicz is a great guy. I mean, I think that is just, I think you can just tell when you see Jan Blachowicz talk, he's likable, he's a good guy. I think that when you're in a situation like this where the belt's been vacated, especially like, you know, the way it's been vacated where you kind of don't even know, like, oh, and then it feels a little bit like an interim championship. But it's not. It's the legit championship. I think I'm going to say this. I like Jan Blachowicz a lot, and I don't have it in me to make a pick against Dagestan.
Well, neither can I in this fight.
You know how many losses Magomed has in the UFC?
One. He got triangled by Paul Craig.
Paul Craig is that crazy Scottish guy?
Yes.
The crazy Scottish who pulls guard and submits almost everybody.
Yeah, so and he's fun. Paul Craig is fun.
Yeah, I like Paul Craig.
Okay, so Ankalaev has one defeat. Jan Blachowicz, I don't think Jan Blachowicz is going to triangle anybody.
No.
I like Jan Blachowicz a lot. He's the Polish power, legendary Polish power. I'm going with Magomed first round submission. No disrespect there.
First round submission?
Dude, all I know is, you know, yes. I mean, Glover submitted Yamble over to the second round, and yeah, Glover is fucking a stud. And Magomed, you know, he knows how to get that fight down. I think he's going to get him down, and he's going to get him down. And he's, you know what? You're right, Dean Thomas. What am I saying? I'll say the second round. Second round sub.
That's fair. I think he's gonna knock him out, but you never know.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. I why trade with the Polish power?
Dino, what do you think?
I think we've picked it. I think ankle live. I mean, whether it's submission or knockout, I think I'll go with the submission.
Listen, I think it's going to be a fucking fantastic fight. I think it's going to be a great card all around. The card is fantastic. And it's this Saturday, UFC 282. I can't wait. It's on pay-per-view. Correct? Pay-per-view?
Yeah, it's on pay-per-view. I'm here right now. I'm here right now in the Apex Spanish broadcast studio.
Oh, look at Dean Thomas, yeah, man.
They set me up.
Dude, can I give some love to Dana? Yes. Yeah, I rolled over to the UFC headquarters. I tell Dana, I just bought this Tesla and I'm making a video where I'm sleeping in my Tesla for a week just for fun, you know? But that's kind of boring on its own. I was like, you know, I found a fucking crane operator who says he's willing to hoist my fucking Tesla up over 100 fucking feet in the air and let me sleep in it 100 feet in the air. But I don't have a place to do it, man. What do you think if I do it right here at the UFC headquarters? And Dana's like, yeah, sure.
I remember seeing it. I was like, what the hell is that? And they were like, oh, Steve-O's up there sleeping. I'm like, oh, my God.
Where were you?
I slept in my car, like 110 feet in the air, suspended by a crane. I was up there for 14 hours just hanging over the UFC headquarters. Like, in order to do this, like, to get permits for that, insurance, like, I mean, we would be talking about weeks, but this happened because Dana said it was cool.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, Dana was like, yeah, sure, man, that sounds cool. Fucking greatest. It's the coolest thing in the whole wide world. And and immediately after, I took a photo of the car hanging from the crane. You could see UFC in it. And I signed a bunch of them and sold them on my website, gave 100% of the proceeds to Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas to help people who actually don't have a fucking choice but to sleep in their car.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was great. And Dana helped me do it. Dana helped me do it. I did it at the UFC headquarters. When I got out of my car the next morning, I rolled right into the Apex and watched Alexa Grasso.
Yeah, I remember.
It was great to see you there, man. Yeah. It was really cool to see you there, dude.
And it was crazy because like I was walking. I'm like, what the hell is a crane doing here with a car suspended? They were like, oh, yeah, Steve-O's up there sleeping. I'm like, what?
The picture.
Yeah. And I thought you were going to say, I was walking by and I thought, man, what's that fucking smell? Oh, it's Steve-O. He hasn't showered. I'll tell you, man, it got hot in that car.
Oh, I could imagine. Holy.
It got hot in that car, man.
Did you bring any, obviously you brought a thing to go play.
Yeah, for sure, man. I got this, this great, like, this great like urinal you can get online. It's got a hose and everything, and it goes got a big bottle. Like
that for my colitis. Hey, listen, hey, Steve-O, before we let you go, man. First of all, hey, always love having you on, buddy. Always. Steve-O's been on a bunch where I feel like I'm closer to him than I really am. If I seen him, I'm giving him a big hug. I hope it's not weird. But
I love it. I love it, man. I'm a fan. I'm a fan, you know, like that. Everything that I say about the UFC commentary, where it's this great balance between, you know, being lighthearted and fun and but serious about fighting. I mean, dude, that's you to the max, you know, like just a goofy guy having fun but very serious about fighting. Like Matt Serra, dude, you're what it's all about.
Dean's gonna say,
Thomas,
Dean,
man.
Dean wants to say goofy how. I'm only fucking around. Go ahead. Dean, Dean, go ahead. You're about to give Dean Thomas a compliment. I don't want to stop.
I did. Dean Thomas, man. It's just like I said, man, whenever they give you the mic, the way they used to do it with Trevor Whitman, it's a real treat.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
He is the man with two first names. Now, listen, to promote your book, give us one more time.
Yeah, it's called A Hard Kick in the Nuts. What I've learned from a lifetime of terrible decisions. And it's just uncomfortably juicy, man. I wrote the book with the co-writer. You know, we worked our asses off on it. We were so like just immersed in it, like desensitized to it. Then I delivered the original manuscript to the publisher. And it was like months later that I went into the recording studio to record the audiobook. And months later, as I read that shit out loud into a microphone, I had a fucking panic attack. I'm like, wait a second, why the fuck am I putting this shit out? Why am I admitting this shit? It's just too much. All this crazy stories about sex addiction and all of the you know, the infighting behind the curtains of the jackass world. Like, I just put shit out there that made me really uncomfortable. But now the book's been out for a couple months and nothing terrible has happened.
You're still here.
I'm still here. Yeah.
You're honest. You're doing well. Good luck on your bucket list tour. And Steve, please don't come back again soon, man. I can't wait. If they want to find out where to pick up the book, where do they go? Is there a certain...
I mean, shit, dude, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, the Barnes & Noble, I think, still has some signed copies even.
And your bucket list store, if you have a website or something, Steve, or your Instagram?
My bucket list tour is winding down. I'm filming the comedy special for the bucket list tour in multiple venues. So like I said, after each bit, there's a video. When I come out of each video, I'm going to be coming out into a different city, a different theater.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So yeah, it's going to be great, man. And that's being taped in Dothan, Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, all in the next like 10 days.
Oh, shit, man. Dude, you are busy. That theater looks awesome. I can't wait. One day, the special you're filming, is it anything like what you're showing on these bucket list talks?
I didn't even tell you about the shit I did for this bucket list tour is so fucked up, man. I had an idea to go skydiving because like skydiving, grandma's doing, everybody does it. I'm like, how do I make skydiving like crazy? Okay. And what I came up with years ago was like, go skydiving completely butt naked with another man strapped to my back and actually fucking jack off to where I blow a load simultaneously as I fall out of the airplane. That is the most patently fucking absurd idea. And it was the most challenging stunt on every level.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I pulled it off, bro.
Wow.
And dude, I
can whack off mostly anywhere. Dean Thomas knows that.
I don't know if I don't know if I can. That's gonna be hard to watch.
Dude, it's like it is with tremendous pride and gratitude that I genuinely believe, and I'm so proud of it, that I might be the only guy in the world who could make that video. Whoa. And fucking show it to the whole goddamn world and feel really good about it.
Steve-O, that's something. We're going to end it on. That's something to show the grandkids. So listen, hey. Dude, thanks for coming on, brother. Hey, we'll see. I'm going to see you soon. Hopefully.
Yeah, man. Hey, I love it. I love you guys. Thank you for having me. And apologies for my stupid 5G, man. What the 5G?
No worries, homie.
We got you on here. That's the most important thing, man. Hey, best of luck with the tour and best of luck with the book.
Hey, man. We'll see you at the fights. Man, I love it when they put my tweets on the screen, dude.
Let's do that again.
All right, man. Peace.
You're not mentioning you backing off jumping out of an airplane. All right, Steve-O. Later, Steve-O. Hey, Dean Thomas, how much fun is that?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That guy's an animal.
This is a long episode, Dean Thomas.
We had a good time though. Like, if it's that long, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure they will edit it down and put out the good stuff.
Hey, leaving my story, Jake the Mighty. Okay? Leaving that fucking story. Okay. Listen, Dean, what do you want to promote besides UFC 282 this weekend, December 10th?
UFC 282. Next weekend, I'll be back out here, UFC Fight Night. That's it, man. Listen, hit me up on Instagram, at Dean Thomas. Dean spelled D-I-N Thomas. And check for the East Coast tour. I'm going to go out to Matt Sarah's school, and we're going to kick it again.
Dean Thomas, hey, thanks for making that trip. Even though Anik and Jimmy would never do it, thank you.
I don't trust him.
Oh, Dean, by the way, what about the show? I heard something about Dean Got Answers. What's that about?
Oh, yeah, Dean's Got Answers. That's the show where I come on. It's a solo show that I do, solo project that I do that the UFC produces. And I just answer the questions that the fans have, that the people want to know. And I always bring a homie on. The last one did really well. I had Benil Dariush on, and we talked about the differences between jiu-jitsu and sambo. So just keep checking for that. It's a nice little podcast I do.
Dean Got Answers, bro. Awesome. Dude, listen to me. I'll be hitting you up probably later on. I annoy you.
No, you don't. You try to.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much for the support. We appreciate it.
All right, y'all.
Later, Dean Thomas.
Peace.
Bye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.